Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatutenlil, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know him here. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEEQ, Jihad, JIHAD.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165. Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's S-I-D-D-E-Q, at msn.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين that is with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. That is, we acknowledge that there is no deity but the one deity, Allah alone, and there's none like unto him. And we bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, the prayers and peace and blessings be upon him forever and ever, and upon his companions, the righteous all. Amma ba'd. Dear Muslims, we have entitled this particular khutbah Iqra, which means proclaim, and some says that it means read, recite, rehearse, all of those meanings in the one word, Iqra. But before I do that, I'd like to open up with a beautiful dua from the glorious Quran, where Allah reveals, Rabbana atmim lana nurana waqfir lana innaka ala kulli shayin qadir. Our Lord, complete our life for us, forgive us, for surely you have power over all things at all times. Continuing on now, the word that I just mentioned, which is a command, Iqra, which means to proclaim, recite, rehearse, and so on. So I wanted to just give a backdrop of the coming of these first five verses of Surah 96 to our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is, the peace and blessings forever and ever be upon him. When Muhammad lived in the precincts of Mecca, Saudi Arabia, he experienced a lot of what we would call niggardly behavior, if you will. They called the time before the coming of the Quran the age of jahiliyyah, meaning the age of impulsive living, ignorant life, savage life, life like you find in the cartoons, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. They were very, very tribal. And just to give you an example, if you were out on the desert and you had your camel and you needed some water, and the water hole was occupied by an enemy tribe, then you, in many cases, would die because of not wanting to go and confront the other tribe. There may have been more numbers than the tribe that you were in. So they were very, very savage, and they didn't have a lot of humanity toward one another. So it was a lot of fighting, tribal warfare, like the tribal warfare that we see existing in the world today. And in fact, we know that the warfare we have today is more deadly than the warfare of days gone by. So at any rate, Muhammad saw all of this bad condition, and so he wanted to have a reprieve, an escape from what he saw. They were running around the house that Abraham built naked, having orgies. They were killing one another. They were burying their infant female girls alive. They were doing a lot of stuff that was against what God would have them to do. So he went to this cave, Hira, H-I-R-A, that's the cave that he went into many times in his life to get solace and escape from the jahiliyyah condition, that is, the days of ignorance, the impulsive, hasty, ignorant life of his people, the Arabs. And by the way, I might mention to you, the Prophet Muhammad was an African Arab. He had African blood in him because he came from the ancestral seed or ancestral line, if you will, of Ibrahim and Hagar, who is known to have been from Egypt. Another word for Egypt is Misra, or Misru. Misru would be more appropriate. So when he was in this cave one night, he says to us that he heard in his own mind's eye or in his consciousness the word Iqra. And he responded, I cannot Iqra, And the report has it that the angel Jibril is the one who brought the message to Muhammad. Iqra! And they said that he said it three times to Muhammad, and Muhammad said three times that he cannot Iqra. And then the onset of the revelation of this glorious Quran came forth, the first five verses of chapter 96. And you might ask, why is it that this first five verses, or these first five verses, didn't come from the chapter 1? Only God knows. But we do know that the Quran has some coherency to it. And from looking at the content of these particular five verses in chapter 96, 1 through 5, we are inclined to believe that these were indeed the first five verses that he received. And we have some information on what may have been the last of the verses that he received over the period of 23 years. This revelation came slow and timely, and when the revelation was needed to guide our noble brother Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so now I read the verses. The first verse, Iqra, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, that is, proclaim. Proclaim in the name or by the power and essence of your Lord and cherisher who created. Again, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Proclaim. Now, if you look at the Abdullah Yusuf Ali translation, which many of us read, you'll note that he has proclaim, and then he has in parentheses the word read in parentheses. And he says in his methodology of translation, if you will, that his methodology is as such where when he puts words in the parentheses, it's more added explanation or tafsir. But those words that are outside of the parentheses is his attempt at giving a word-for-word rendering of the various Arabic words into English. So Iqra, according to Abdullah Yusuf Ali, and I agree wholeheartedly with him on this particular translation, meaning proclaim. So Muhammad was being told to proclaim, and he was telling the angel Jibril and also telling Allah too, I cannot proclaim. So God is commanding him, proclaim, proclaim by the power and essence of your guardian, Lord, cherisher, and evolver. Now notice, he didn't say proclaim by Allah. He said proclaim by your guardian evolver. So the word Rab in Arabic, it doesn't mean like rabbi. Rab means the one who evolves you and I from a very, very beginning state and on into more and more higher levels of development to our completion. So God is responding to him by saying to him, I know I have evolved you, Muhammad, to the point where you will be able to be the recipient of this message that will help you and help the whole of humanity. So it's, again, it says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And then the next verse, Khalaqal insana min alaq. He created the human family from a clinging substance. A clinging substance. And we know that clinging substance is sperm, and we know that the sperm merges with the ovum. And after that, it's reported by doctors and the Quran itself that a clot or a substance of congealed blood takes place when the sperm hits the ovum, the egg of the woman. So God is telling him, but I knew you before Muhammad's father, Abdullah, and your mother came together. Amina was her name, pardon me, came together and you began to grow in the womb of your mother, Amina. So he's taking Muhammad back to a place that he doesn't know anything about. We don't know anything about the moment of our conception. We don't know about what happens in the womb when we're getting to the point of coming out into the world. We know that the heartbeat of the child coming out of the womb of the mother is so strong and excruciating that scientists even today don't know how a little baby could withstand the pressure of the fast heartbeat and so on, and the rigors of having to push out of the wombs of our mothers. Praise be to Allah. So continuing, God is explaining to him who he is by saying that I'm your Rabb, I'm your cherisher, and then he says that I am the one who created the humanity out of a clot of congealed blood. Imam Waqi Muhammad don't like to use the word clot, and I agree with him because clot, a blood clot or something like that is a negative in our minds. So he says a clinging substance, created you out of a clinging substance. And one of the beautiful things we want to remember is that when that sperm penetrates the egg, they are racing, many, 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 many sperms, thousands or maybe millions of sperms, I think they say, are racing from the one ejaculation trying to reach the egg. And the fastest and the swiftest one is the one that became you or other people. Became you in the sense that the strongest one is the one that hit the prize of the egg. And from that point, you or I came into existence in a very, very elementary state. Praise be to Allah. So then the third verse of this particular series of five verses, it repeats the word Iqra again. Iqra rabbukal akram. That is, proclaim. And your Lord is El Akram. What is El Akram? El Akram is the one who is generous and has all of what you need, Muhammad, to deliver this message of deliverance to yourself and to the whole of the human family. So God is reminding him, proclaim, and I am the most bountiful one, having that which you need and that which you will eventually have as a series of revelations to the whole of the human family. And then the next verse, number four, Alladhi alama bil kalam. Fifth verse, Alama al insana ma lam ya'lam. That is, it is he, that is Allah, who taught the use of the kalam, the pen. Notice the word column in English is like the shape of a pen or a pencil, isn't it? But the word for pen or pencil or writing implement in Arabic is kalam, Q-A-L-A-M, kalam. It is he who taught the use of the pen, taught the human family that which he did not know before. Praise be to Allah. So these are the first ayahs of revelation that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received. And I want you to know this too. This root of the word Iqra is Qara'a, Qaf, Ra, and Aleph. And if you looked it up in the Lane's lexicon, you will find that it means to put something together, piece by piece, and part by part. And so when you look at reading, when you look at what happens in the wombs of our mothers, we are indeed being put together, piece by piece, and part by part. And when you read something, what are you doing? You're putting together words and letters and sentences, and you bounce it off of your five senses, and then you begin to read. You begin to understand. So understand that Iqra does mean read, but in the context of this particular first revelation verse, or revelatory verse, if you will, of the Quran, God is commanding him to proclaim, not to read. He was in a dark cave, and the Quran itself had not come down on sheepskin. He had to write it down after it came. So he wouldn't have been told to read anything, at least from the standpoint of having something before his face to read it. So understand that we don't want to say, as traditionally many people say, the very first thing the Prophet was told to do was to read. I would say to you, the very first thing the Prophet was told to do was to proclaim. And he didn't know that he was pregnated or impregnated with a proclamation to the whole of humanity. Praise be to Allah. If ever a man was pregnant, Muhammad was the one, in terms of being filled with the knowledge that will impregnate the world and bring about many, 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 many lives of devotion, inshallah, to the Lord of all the worlds, the Rabbil Alameen. So those, again, are the first five verses. And let me share this with you, too. We know that the gestation period of a woman having a baby is generally 257 days. That's how long it takes for the nine-month period for us to come out of the wombs of our mothers if it's a natural birth. And sometimes, you know, we have premature births and stillbirths and also sometimes cesarean sections where they have to cut the woman's stomach open for the baby to come out. We understand that. But the point we're trying to make here is that this whole series of verses, at least the first three, are relating to the birth of something. And so a woman who is pregnant, she's called a Mukriatun, coming from the same letters, Kaf, Ra, and Aleph, and you put a Mu on the front of it. Mukriatun. A Mukriatun is a female who has no menses. She had no period that particular month. If she was in a healthy state, she usually has a monthly period if she's within the childbearing age. Praise be to Allah. So Mukriatun is that woman who has no menses. So the word for menses itself, coming from the same Arabic letters, Kaf, Ra, and Aleph, is Kuru'un. Kuru'un, Kaf, Ra, and Aleph. Look it up in the Pond Winner Dictionary. You'll see it there too. And also, I believe, in the Lane's Lexicon. So clearly, Muhammad is being told that you have made contact with the one that set up the process of life itself coming into to being. So he knew Muhammad before he came out of the womb of his mother. In fact, we know that Allah foreknew the exact moment in time in that cave Hira, when Prophet Muhammad would be there, and he would give him the revelation, Iqra, and as I indicated earlier, 23 years of revelation came forth at timely basis for the Prophet to guide himself and guide the people. Praise be to Allah. So we have the Quran today, and we are thankful to Allah for this glorious Quran. So now I want to take you to the Surah 43. Allah reveals, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن فُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. That is, He has created pairs in all things and has made for you ships and cattle on which you ride. So here God is telling us clearly that everything that he has created in pairs, black, white, hot, cold, male, female. We got male trees and female trees. In other words, everything that Allah has created, he's declaring as a statement of fact that he has made it in pairs. Again, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَزْوَاجَ كُلَّهَا. كُلَّهَا means all of it. كُلَّهَا وَجَعَلَ. And he made لَكُم مِنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. That he has created pairs again in all things and has made for you ships and cattle on which you ride. Now understand too that if Allah is saying that he has created everything in pairs, that we should know that every human being that came out of the wombs of the mothers had a male and female interaction. And that's very important for you to remember. And some will argue that Jesus came without the agency of a man. From my understanding of the Quran, Allah is making it clear, as I stated a moment ago, that he has created everything in pairs. Praise be to Allah. And you'll see in the verses to follow the ones I'm reciting that there's an allusion to this fact again. So in other words, we're saying to you that every human being that comes forth into this world comes from the agency of a male and a female, And we know now they have in vitro fertilization and everything, but at any rate, it takes sperm and ovum to make the human being. And this is what Allah has revealed. This is what He has decreed as a way. And He says, He only says to a thing, kun fa yakun, be, and it is. And He also says, la tabdila qawtala. And you'll never find a change in the creation of Allah. So He, if He is Allah, He is a designer. He's not one who has to toy and redo and redesign. He designs a thing one time. And that's how it's going to be for all time. Praise be to Allah, the Lord and Cherisher and Sustainer of the entire universe, this expanding universe that we live in. Praise be to Allah. So the next verse says, in order that you may sit firm and square on their backs. He's talking about now traveling. And when you are so seated, you may celebrate the kind favor of your Lord and say, Subhanalladhi safa lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin inna ila rabbina la munqalibun. This is what many Muslims say when they get into their automobiles and when the camel jockeys ride their camels. I don't like to make that as a joke, but they call the Arabs camel jockeys, which is really a viewed as a derogatory reference. But we know that the camel is a very, very sacred animal for the desert dwellers. They can get their water direction in terms of navigation to water holes from the camel. They get their milk, their warmth, and that mode of transportation on those humps on that camel. It's very interesting for you to know that the word for camel in Arabic is jamal, not C-A-M-A-L or M-E-L, but jamal, J-A-M-A-L. And jamal means beautiful. So the Arab is telling you, yeah, you look at him, he looks kind of ugly, but he's beautiful because of what he does for us. Could you imagine that, having a animal that Allah has created that knows how to sniff out the presence of water miles and miles away? That is Allah's design, that the camel was made for the desert and made for the use of the human being. So here it is, Allah is telling us that we should say this. And when you get on your horse or your camel or your automobile or your motorcycle or your scooter or whatever you use as a mode of transportation, you should say, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin. Then the 14th ayah of Surah 43 says, wa inna ila rabbina la munqalibun. Now, I had said last week that I was going to talk more about the forms of the Arabic verb. I mentioned briefly the first five. And in this particular ayah that I just recited, there's a seventh form verb. And inshallah, before I conclude today, we'll be able to go over some of the forms, but we may not finish all of them in this particular khutbah, because I've been a little bit long-winded on Iqra. But at any rate, we want you to know that La Munqalibun is the seventh form verb, meaning that you are returning. We are, as a group, active participants. It's an active participle noun. Active participants in returning to the Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. So why did Allah use the seventh form verb here in this particular ayah? There's a reason for that noon, that N being after the mu. We got M-U, then we got an N with no sound, mun. And then the verbal root is khalaba, which means to turn or return back, return. So here Allah is letting you know, letting us know, that I have clocked into you, all human beings, an inevitable return to me. But you don't know when you're going to return. I don't know when I'm going to return. But Allah wants you and I, when we get on into our automobiles, when we go from this place to that place, or get on an airplane, let us be conscious that we are going to return to our Lord. And we are actively returning but we don't know when we're going to return. So praise be to Allah. He utilizes these forms of the verbs, and I'm trying to, and nouns, trying to get the Muslims to understand that these are very, very important things for you and I to get more clarity and more understanding and more light, more drive, more motivation to do what Allah would have us to do. And as I said in previous khutbahs, Allah is the grammarian of all grammarians. So he utilizes grammar to express what he wants to have conveyed to our minds so that we can have power to benefit from this Quran and use this Quran as a blueprint for our human life. So after the verse 14, we have the verse 15, as you know from counting. 43:15, it says, yet they attribute to some of his servants a share with him. Now we know for sure that many share in their mind's eye the idea of Jesus being a part of the Godhead. You know, I can see why, because in the Bible language it says that let us make man in our image. So people are assuming that that us is Jesus and the Creator, the Holy Spirit part of the triune God idea, right? But we understand from reading Arabic and knowing something about other languages that this us is the authoritative we. So that us is not Jesus, but that us is all of the sperm, if you will, the ovums, if you will, all of the processes that God uses to cause the human being to come out of the wombs of that mother and get on the earth and start walking around in time is the us that this Creator is referring to. So let us make man in our image. Let us make man in the way that I perceive and design him to be. And it happened. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. We have the prototype. We all usually have five fingers and five toes and so on and so forth. But sometimes people come out with more than five fingers. I remember a brother out of Chicago. In fact, it was the father of Khalil Ali, one of Muhammad Ali's ex-wives. He had six fingers on both hands. And I had him to show me one day, and I saw it for myself that he had that. But praise be to Allah, we know that he is, again, the designer. And he says, and continuing this translation of the ayah 15 or verse 15 of Surah 43, yet they attribute to some of his servants a share with him in his Godhead. And then God says, innal insana lakufurun mubin. Truly, the human family is a blasphemous, ingrate, openly ingrate and blaspheming, the majesty of God in attributing someone as being an associate or helper in his control and power and dominion of the whole universe. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. So that's an example of the seventh form. In the seventh form, you should know, it is also what we call passive, in the sense that the thing that is being talked about, the action is coming upon it, not from an outside source necessarily, but from an internal operation or example, pardon me, or design in the particular thing. In fact, I'm going now to my book where I gave some rundown on the seventh form, just so that I could be very coherent here. The seventh form is passive. Passive meaning that the agent that does the thing is unknown. If I say to you, I had an apple on the table here, and when I came back, the apple was on the floor. I can't say, she put it on the floor, he put it on the floor, the wind blew it on the floor. I don't know. The agent that did it, I don't know. All I can say is, it was on the floor. I can't say he put it on the floor or she. I just use the word it. So many times the passive voice, a telltale sign of it is when you use the word it. And the agent many times is unknown. So we call it the passive voice, the agent that did a thing is unknown. So in English grammar, the passive voice means the agent doing the thing is unknown. In Arabic, the seventh form has the meaning of a thing allowing something. Listen to this. The seventh form has the meaning of a thing allowing something to be done to it by a human's action or an action by a created thing. Or, this is the very key point, or an inherent inner cause that Allah has clocked or designed within that thing. And that's what I had just mentioned a few minutes ago, Lamun Kali Boom, that in there and the idea we're returning is clocked into us. And God says to us in the Quran, Kulu Nefsin Daikatul Maut, and every soul shall have a taste of death. No, this is a natural design that, as you know, we are going to die one day. But we know also Allah is saying that you will have life after this one in Jahannam, which is hell, or Jannah, which is heaven. Praise be to God. So I'm trying to give you just a brief idea of what the seventh form is indicating. So you want to know that it's simply saying that it is something that has something to do with the inner design of a thing that causes it to do this or do that. And mainly we know that there's certain things in the universe that are designed in such a way where, in fact, if we can just say it from the whole universe, everything material has a death point, a deteriorating point, and it's constantly deteriorating, material things. So Allah says to us, in shaka, shaka means to split. And it says, and the moon split. And so what caused the moon to split? Did something outside of it hit it to split? Or is it something internally in the structure of the moon that will cause it to split? And I'm postulating to you that God is saying to us that there's something internally in the moon that's going to cause it to split. There's something internally in the sun that will cause it to burn out and fizzle out one day and be no more. But it's going to happen a long, 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 long time from now. Praise be to Allah. So I hope I did give you some idea of what the seventh form is indicating here. I see that we have gone for about a half an hour, and I want to take you now to some comments about the sixth form. I went to seven first, but now we're going back to six. Last week we talked about the fifth form as the concluding form that we addressed in the khutbah on October 23rd. Today, as we know, is October 30th. 2020, and this is the date that that Imam Warifuddin Muhammad was born. October 30th, I believe, 1933, if I'm not mistaken. May Allah grant him paradise and accept his noble work. In fact, when we really look at the world today, in recent years, we could say that he was one of the greatest Dawah men. In other words, one of the ones who brought in large numbers of African Americans and others to the fold of Al-Islam. We thank him for all of his noble work and his great vision that he has left us for the future. So continuing on now, Allah reveals in the Surah 102, Al-Hakumu Takathur, translated by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, the mutual rivalry for piling up the good things of this world diverts you and I from the more serious things. So here we have just two words, al-hakumu takathur, and we use all of those English words to translate it. So we have the word at-takathur, that's the name of that particular of this particular chapter 102. At-takathur. So at-takathur is the sixth form noun. Sixth form noun. How do I know that? Because I see the ta at beginning, and I see the lengthening of the first letter of the Arabic verb kathara. It becomes kathurun. So again, al-hakumu takathur. So the lengthening of the first of the triliteral root letters with the aleph preceded by the factor on the first letter, which is calf, and the fact that the ta is at the beginning lets me know, and also by having the dhamma on the tha, the th, and the dhamma on the ra, which makes it the subject case, and we have al in front, at the kathur, that lets me know immediately that it is on the pattern of tafa'ulun. And I know from studying the Arabic forms that tafa'ulun is the sixth form noun pattern. So you should know that the sixth form has something to do with mutuality. Two entities or numbers of entities doing a particular thing. So God is telling you and I that if we are engaged in keeping up with the Joneses for material acquisition, and just keep trying to just pile up new things, because your neighbor has new things, or you just want to be in the material rat race, if you will, then it's not bad to acquire material. Don't think the Muslims don't want material things. We do. But if this rivalry and this piling up of material things diverts you from belief in your Creator, then it could be a very, very detrimental thing. And this is what God is warning us of in this particular surah. And then he says, this mutual rivalry or piling up the good things will divert you from the serious things. But then he says, until hatta zurtumul makabir, until you visit the graves. In other words, until you die. Like, you're going to visit the grave, but you're not going to stay there. You're going to go from the grave to either hell or heaven. That's why Allah says, until you visit the grave. A visit, you're not going to be there indefinitely. Zurutum means you all visit. Hatta zurutumul makabir. Kalla sawfa ta'alamun. But nay, you shall soon know the reality. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'alamun. Again, you soon shall know. Kalla law ta'alamuna immal yaqeen. Nay, were you to know with a certainty of mind, you would beware. In other words, if you knew what the life after this one is in clear vision, you and I would be aware, more conscious of not being the one who just piles up material things without any devotional life. You shall certainly see the hellfire. Again, you shall see it with a certainty of sight. Then shall you and I be questioned that day about the joy we indulged in, or what we approved of in our lives. In other words, each and every individual soul, according to what Allah has revealed in the Quran, will be questioned. Not that God doesn't have the answers, but the questioning is for you to know that I saw you, I was aware of your life, and what you did and what you didn't do throughout your entire life. I have your whole record. So we will be given our records in our right hand or our left hand. The right hand is for the heaven, and the left hand is for the hellfire. Inshallah, we don't want to go to the hellfire. We don't want to taste that. Praise be to Allah. So I'm letting you know, inshallah, if it pleases Allah, that these forms of the verbs have something that will help you and aid you in your understanding. So this is why Abdul Yusuf translates it, the mutual rivalry of piling up the abundance, kathara, abundance. Then we have a surah in the Quran called Kauthar, which means abundance, also a different word but has the same root meaning, a root connection, kaf, tha, and ra. When I say kaf, we're talking about a K. When I say tha, we're talking about a TH. When I say ra, we're talking about an R, a rolling R. Kathara, not kathara, but kathara, kathara. And I remember when I was teaching Arabic at Ferndale High School one time, one of the ladies there, either she was a cheerleader or she knew this particular thing that the cheerleader said, and she said, rah, 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 sis, boom, bah. So I use that as an example of how to say the Arabic R. Rah, it's a rolling R. Rah, Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor. Ar-Rahim, the merciful redeemer. Praise be to Allah. So I mentioned to you forms 6 and 7 in a surface way, but I'm doing this perchance that you will be motivated and you will be driven to become a student of the glorious Quran. And I have written a book called The Language of Revelation, Lughatut Tanzil, which was endorsed strongly by Imam Warifdi Muhammad, may Allah grant him paradise, and he told the people that they could benefit greatly from the book. And I say also that you and I can benefit greatly from the book, and once you understand the forms of the verbs, you'll begin to go into the Quran and see more light and get more ability to understand and get the utility and the drive so you can pursue material things as well. This understanding of the Quran will drive you materially as well if you are in the right state, inshallah, inshallah. So let me go now to conclude this with a proof from the Quran that Allah wants us to be people who pursue material things. And the verse is Surah 28, verse 77. I'll just do it in English and maybe make a comment about a word or two. And seek by the means of what Allah has granted you, the home of the hereafter. In other words, look for the life to come. But then he reminds us, but don't forget your share of the material world. But do good as Allah has been good to you, and engage not in mischief in the land. For surely Allah does not love those who do mischief. It's very important for you to know that God makes it clear what he loves and what he does not love. He does not love mischief makers. He does not love those who are engaged in all sorts of evil and undermining. He tells us what he loves and what he doesn't love in the Quran. So his love is not unconditional. There's conditions for you and I to receive the love of God. And I have mentioned in the past khutbah and many khutbahs over the years that God says that he loves the doers of good. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. He never says he loves the Muslims. He never says he loves the mu'min, the believer. He said he loves the doers of good. Again, inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. Let me pause for a minute as I reach the close here. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Our Lord, cause not our hearts to swerve or derate after you've guided us aright, but bestow upon us mercy from your presence, for surely you are the grandest of the givers. Rabbi habli hukma wa hikni bi salihin, waj'alli lisana sibkin fil akhirin, waj'alli min warathati jannatin na'im, waghfir li abi innahu kana min ad-dallin, wa la tuqsina yawma yub'athun. Our Lord, bestow upon us wisdom. Unite us with the righteous. Grant us honorable mention on the tongue of truth among the latest of the generations. Make us inheritors of the garden of bliss and joy. Forgive our forefathers, for many of them were astray. Do not let us be in disgrace and humiliation when we are raised for the final judgment. Amen. So the second part of the khutbah. اللهم نستعينك ونستغفرك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك ونثني عليك وقايا ونشكرك ولا نكفرك. O Allah, we ask for your forgiveness, we ask for your help, we believe in you, we trust in you, and we extol and exalt you in the best manner, and we are thankful to you, Allah, and we are not ungrateful. Praise be to Allah. So in concluding, I just want to let you know that inshallah next time I will make some comments on the 8th, 9th, and 10th form. And what you really want to understand is that there's only a letter or two difference between the forms. I mentioned last week, fa'alah, just three letters with three slash marks over the top. That's the first form, going right to the point, fa'alah. Then when I go to the second form, I put what we call a shadda on the middle letter of those three to double it. Fa'ala sounds emphatic, right? That's the second form. Then we go to the third form. We got a fa, let's say an F, and we just lengthen it by putting a long stick right next to it to lengthen it. Fa'ala instead of fa'ala. That's the third form, and so on and so forth. So it's not a complicated thing. It may sound complicated, but it's very, very rational and structured in such a way where you will have the ability to understand and get utility if you make the commitment to be a student of the glorious Quran, be a of the Taliban. You say, the Taliban? They see the Taliban as some radical group. But the word itself, Taliban, means student. And by being what we call the fatatain ending, it means a student forever. So you and I should be students forever of this Quran and students of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our designer, our protector. And Allah tells us that we should say, wa anta maulana, and you are our maulana, and you are our protector. So you might ask the question, if you're thinking, why do people who supposedly have knowledge and have some type of following and have the leadership position call themselves Maulana? You ask them, because I can't tell you why they would do it when the very last of the ayahs of chapter 2, Baqarah, says that we are commanded by God himself to say, why enter Maulana, and you are our Maulana. So I close again with another dua. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Our Lord, grant us the excellence of this life and the excellence of the life to come, and save us from the penalty of the fire. Amen.
I want to bring to our attention achievement publication that has been produced, and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it is for anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil. The language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Yahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Yahad, will you please stand and face the audience, so they have, yeah, this is Brother Sadiq Jihad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. And I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding, and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Siddiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Siddiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.siddiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Siddiq, that's SIDDEQ at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.